podcast of the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Welcome into the Air Raid with Parker Kelly on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game, across the Game Nashville Sports Network. Do you smell that? It smells like college football outside. That is because we're in the early portion of August, which means that we will get actual college football games this month. Teams are just now starting fall camp or close to the middle of fall camp. It's really a great time. I can remember my playing days back in college and just remember all those memories that I had with my teammates during fall camp, really getting to know each other, the transfers that are coming in, the freshmen that are coming on campus, getting to bond with them, build some chemistry. It's really a great and exciting time. And yes, football is back. I believe we had a football game on our screens, our TV screens, not even a couple nights ago, the NFL Hall of Fame game. So football is back, and because football is back, it seems like a adequate time to make some predictions, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. I have my predictions for conference championship weekend. I have my winners, and we know that if you win your conference, that means that you get an automatic berth in the 12-team college football playoff format. I also have my dark horse teams for each of the power conferences. I also have some bold predictions. Yeah, just got a lot to get into on this episode. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Game Nashville Sports Network wherever you get your podcasts. There you'll find each and every episode of The Air Raid with Parker Kelly, in addition to all of our great podcasts that we're doing here at 102.5 The Game. All right, let's go ahead and get into it. So I'm going to go ahead and start off predicting my conference championship weekend slate for the power conferences, and I have my winners as well. Starting with the ACC, in my ACC title matchup, the first team that I say will probably not surprise you, but the second team will probably raise a lot of eyebrows. I have Clemson versus Georgia Tech. Yes, you heard me right. I have Georgia Tech in there. So Clemson is kind of a no-brainer. They return the most production from last year's, or they return the most production in all of college football from last year's team at 80%. So 80% of last year's team is returning for the 2025 season. Cade Klubnik, his fourth year as the starter at Clemson, I really liked what I saw from him, especially late down the stretch and in that middle portion of their season. I felt like he got better and better each week. Clemson could have potentially the best trio of wide receivers in the country next season. Antonio Williams, TJ Moore, Bryant Wesco. That's something that I really have not seen or felt like I've really heard from Clemson over the past couple of years, is them having an elite receiving core, and I feel like they can have that this year. Their offensive line, very experienced, very gelled together. There's a lot of chemistry. As far as the defense, I've said this before on this podcast, they have NFL players on all three levels of the defense, and that defensive line reminds me of old Clemson defensive fronts. TJ Parker, Peter Woods, two guys that are top 10 caliber players in the sport just on their defensive line. Clemson, it's really a no-brainer for me to put them in the ACC championship game, or at least predict that they're going to be there. Now, Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech, to me, is a big sleeper, a team that not enough people are talking about. I don't hear a lot of chatter about Georgia Tech outside of the diehard college football analysts that I hear. But I really am sky high on Haynes King. I believe that what he is able to contribute in the run game specifically really provides an edge for Georgia Tech, and he's just good enough in the passing game, but it's really on the ground where Haynes King makes his money. I feel like he's a great college quarterback. And here's the good thing about Georgia Tech. They really embody the personality of their head coach, Brent Key, which is the sign of a great coach. If your team is replicating how you act on a day-to-day basis and they're playing with the coach's style, I really feel like that's a great sign of a coach. So Brent Key, his team, tough, physical at the line of scrimmage. If you watch Georgia Tech play last year, they were very, you know, nitty-gritty, playing the game at the line of scrimmage. That's just how Georgia Tech is. And I really feel like that provides them with an edge this year. And they, not to mention, they have a very workable schedule. Now, they open on the road at Colorado, which will not be an easy game for obvious reason, considering the altitude difference. But so that's going to be an exciting week one opener. That's also a Friday night game on, I believe it's on ESPN at 7 o'clock. And then 2 weeks later, they have Clemson. So not an easy stretch to open up the season. But if you look down the road, once they get to conference play, they're at Wake Forest, back at home versus Virginia Tech, at Duke, back at home versus Syracuse, at NC State, at Boston College, at home versus Pitt, and then obviously they end their season at home versus Georgia. Now, Georgia's not an easy game, but at least they get them at home. But I really could see a world in which Georgia Tech goes 9-3, potentially even 10-2, just considering the schedule they have. Now, if you look at FanDuel, their over-under win total is 7.5. If you are a bettor and you happen to like this line, I would take the over 100%. I'm very sky high on Georgia Tech, and I have Clemson winning the ACC and therefore earning one of those automatic spots in the college football playoff. Moving on to the Big 12, I have talked about the Big 12 at great length. Here's the thing about the Big 12. Towards the end of the season last year, there was a 9-team race potentially for those top two spots for that would earn a spot in the Big 12 conference championship game. The margins are so razor thin in the Big 12. Let's say you're at the top of the league and you're 10-2, and then you have as you get down to the bottom of the conference and you have a 5-7 team. The difference between a 10-2 team and a 5-7 team in the Big 12, again, those margins are so slim. And that's what makes the Big 12 conference. If you're just a college football fan, you don't necessarily have to root for a team in the Big 12. If you're just a college football fan, the Big 12 is super entertaining to watch. I know I really like watching the Big 12. Especially, you know, those high-scoring games that you typically get in the Big 12, they're very entertaining to watch if you're a fan. So in the Big 12, I have Arizona State in there, which is not really a surprise because Arizona State was in the game last year. Arizona State, they return the second most production in the country. 76% of last year's roster returns for this year. Sam Levitt, their quarterback, very sky high on him. I had him ranked 9th in my preseason top 10 quarterback list. I had Sam Levitt at 9. Arizona State, they returned their best receiver, Sam Levitt's main target, in Jordan Tyson, who, if things go well this year, you could be looking at a first-round draft pick in 2026. Now, obviously, they have to replace Cam Scataboo at running back, and that is not necessarily an easy thing to do considering how elite of a running back Scataboo was. But I think they did a pretty good job because they went out and they got Kanye Udo, the running back from Army. And you, if you know anything about Army, you know they like to run the football. And he was their second leading rusher behind their quarterback, and their quarterback finished top what, top six in the Heisman voting? So Kanye Udo, pretty solid pickup out of the portal. And then they have a running back named Kyson Brown, who is a third-year player for the Sun Devils. Kyson Brown is really good specifically catching the ball out of the backfield. And I think that will be a good complement to what Kanye Udo brings to the table. So that provides a good 1-2 punch in the backfield for Arizona State. The front seven was very, very good last year for the Sun Devils. The secondary was a weakness in 2024. They seem to kind of shore that up over the course of the spring, through use of the portal, having guys return from last year's team. You're hoping that they take a step in the right direction. Texas Tech. Texas Tech is a team that has never won the Big 12. In fact, they've never even played in the Big 12 title game. So why am I putting them in there? Well, let me tell you why. If you've been a listener of this podcast for really since I started, you know I've been talking about Texas Tech, I think since late January, early February. Texas Tech was a team that was in contention for the Big 12 title, potentially to play in the game, towards the end of last season. They return their quarterback, Baron Morton, who was top 20 in the country last year in passing yards. They go out and they get some receivers from the portal. They had some spots to fill on the offensive line. They went out and they got some pieces along the interior. Texas Tech, what you need to know about them is they are a window team. And they're kind of an experiment. And here's what I mean by that. Texas Tech has a billionaire oil booster named Cody Campbell. And what Texas Tech has done is they have basically bought this year's team and they're trying to buy a championship. Now, whether that works or not, we're going to see, because with the passing of the House settlement and the salary cap being implemented this year, Texas Tech was trying to get ahead of the curve, and they went out and they bought all these guys from the transfer portal before that pass, so they're ahead of the curve in that. They finished with the second-ranked transfer portal class right behind LSU, and it was a very tight race. They went out and they got, again, some pieces for that offensive line, but defensively, that defensive line has a chance to be very good. They went out and they got David Bailey, who is Stanford's best defensive lineman. I think he's going to be a great player for them. They went out and they got Romello Height, an edge from Georgia Tech, who was very sought after in the portal. He was taking visits to places like LSU and Alabama, and yet chose to go to Texas Tech. I'm very high on Texas Tech. I'm very excited to watch them play because I think they're intriguing. And we're going to see if this strategy works. But right now, I have Arizona State winning this game. And here's the awesome part about if this were to happen in the Big 12 title game. Texas Tech and Arizona State, they play once in the regular season. So it could be a preview of what's to come. And Texas Tech, they play at Arizona State later on in the season. I think about midway point in the season. So that'll be a game that's definitely circled on my calendar. And when we're going to go ahead and head to a break, but when we come back, I'm going to predict the Big Ten championship game as well as the winner and the SEC. You're not going to want to miss that. Welcome back into the Air Raid. Time to predict the Big Ten Conference Championship game and winner, as well as the SEC Championship Conference game and winner. All right, so for the Big Ten, I have a rematch of last year's Big Ten Championship game, and that is Penn State and Oregon. Now, there were really four teams that I debated throwing in here. Penn State, Oregon, Ohio State, and Michigan. The reason I didn't include Ohio State in here, I really wanted to put Ohio State in here. I just have a lot of question marks with Ohio State at this point, and I'm not going to label them as concerns because we haven't actually played a game yet. And Ohio State, it's not that I doubt them or anything, because I don't. I think Ryan Day, I mean, he is the winningest active head coach in college football as it currently stands, and they're just coming off a national championship run, absolutely obliterated the field in the college football playoff. It's not that I doubt Ohio State. My problem with Ohio State, at least as it stands right now, is basically their entire team was drafted outside of Jeremiah Smith and Caleb Downs, who are probably the best players in the country right now, and you could definitely make an argument for that. There's a question at quarterback. Who's going to be the starter? Is it going to be Julian Sain? Is it going to be Lincoln Kindholz? A lot of people, myself included, think it'll be Julian Sain, who is a former five-star recruit who was committed and enrolled at Alabama, but once the news of Nick Saban retiring went down, he then transferred to Ohio State, sat the bench last year behind Will Howard. Now, I believe that it is going to be his turn to be the starter in Columbus, but there are just a lot of question marks outside of that. Now, I think the talent at Ohio State, they're going to be able to backfill just fine, but there's just a lot of youth in Columbus right now. That's probably the best way to put it. In Michigan, really, it just simply boils down to, I don't know what their quarterback situation is going to be. Bryce Underwood, a lot of us expect to be the starter. He's a true freshman. Is he going to be great from the jump? We don't know. We do know that they're going to get good play in the offensive line, defensively, but my big thing is at quarterback with them. So I did take the safe route on this. Penn State, they return a good amount of last year's team. Drew Aller, he's back for his senior season. Drew Aller, was he phenomenal last year? No. Were there flashes? Absolutely. With Drew Aller, the thing about Drew Aller is he does not turn the football over a lot. But I don't want to see him be as gun-shy this year. I want to see him take more chances down the field. And he has a great excuse to do that because Penn State, they went out and they got a trio of receivers from the portal, something that Penn State has not done really ever, because the transfer portal has not been around that long and Penn State has never done this before. They went out and they got Trevor Pena, the star receiver from Syracuse last year, Kyron Hudson from USC, Devontae Ross from Troy. That's three good, solid targets for Drew Aller. They returned both of their running backs, which were huge. Nick Singleton, Katron Allen, year two under Andy Kotelnicki. They did lose Tyler Warren, yes, but tight end has never really been a problem at Penn State. I expect the offensive line to be good. Defensively, not going to be a problem either, because Penn State has historically always been good on defense, and they went out and they just paid $3 million to get the best defensive coordinator in college football in Jim Knowles. The thing about Penn State is they have the exact same blueprint that worked for the last two national champions in Michigan and Ohio State. What Michigan and Ohio State did, they had a ton of talent that could have went and declared for the NFL draft, but they decided to come back in pursuit of something bigger than themselves, and that is ultimately winning a national championship. That happened with Michigan when they were bounced from the four-team college football playoff 2 years in a row before winning the national championship, and that happened with Ohio State, where they lost in the four-team college football playoff, and then they return everybody, and they go and they win the whole thing in the first year of the 12-team college football playoff. Now, Penn State, they make it all the way to the semifinals. They lose a good game to Notre Dame, and they return mostly everybody. It's the exact same blueprint as Michigan and Ohio State. Now, Oregon, on the other side, they're going to have to replace a quarterback in Dillon Gabriel, who we all expect Dante Moore to be the starter. They bring in a transfer running back from Tulane. I don't know how often he's getting talked about, but he should be getting talked about. Mekhi Hughes. He reminds me a lot of a guy that we talk about a lot in the Middle Tennessee area, Tajay Spears. Tajay Spears also played his college ball at Tulane. Mekhi Hughes, very shifty. Once he finds a crease, he's able to get gone. Very good at catching out of the backfield. He's dynamic. And I believe it was a big get for Oregon at running back. Now, they did lose Evan Stewart to what we think will be a season-ending knee injury. Evan Stewart was a transfer from Texas A&M, played for the Ducks last season. He was going to be their wide receiver one, but tragically, that happened. So, who's going to step up? DeCorion Moore, who was a five-star receiver, I believe he was the number one ranked wide receiver in the 2025 class. He was going to start regardless, but now he's going to have a little bit of a bigger role. But there will be other guys in that receiving room that will be able to help him out. Some very high-profiled guys coming out of high school. Kenyon Sadiq, the tight end. He was playing in a crowded tight end room last year with guys like Terrence Ferguson, who was a second-round pick to the LA Rams. Patrick Herbert, who is the younger brother of Justin Herbert, was also in that tight end room. Now it's Kenyon Sadiq's show. And the great thing about Kenyon Sadiq is, despite being in that crowded tight end room last year, he was easily the most athletic tight end in the room. And now it's his show. I've seen early mock drafts that have him going in the first round next year. So who knows if that's going to happen, but there's a likely possibility that that happens if he has a good year. Oregon will be relying upon an offensive line who bring in two transfers, Isaiah World from Nevada and Emmanuel Pregnon from USC. They are hoping that these two work out, and I wouldn't just say hoping. I think that they are going to work out, especially Isaiah World, who was the number one rated offensive tackle in the portal. Oregon went out and got him. Another guy that's projected to go first round in next year's NFL draft if things go well. Defensively, they're led by guys like Mateo Uiagalelei, Bryce Betcher at linebacker, Devin Jackson, also another good one. And they also grabbed the best safety in the transfer portal, in my opinion, in Dylan Thieneman from Purdue. So this is a stacked defense once again, and I see them playing Penn State in the Big Ten Championship for the second year in a row. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. And this is bold of me. I actually consider this bold because Penn State has had a problem of not being able to get over the hump. And what I mean by that is they only have one win over a top five opponent under James Franklin. And that was the Ohio State win back in, I believe it was 2016. They're going to have to prove that they can get over the hump this year. And I believe it's now or never for Penn State. If not this year, when? But I am optimistic. And if you are not as optimistic as I am on Penn State, hey, you have every right to not be. But I think this is the year, and I think Penn State wins the Big Ten Championship game. Okay, SEC, I have LSU versus Texas. LSU and Texas, both I view as legit national championship contenders. Texas, for obvious reasons, they have been a hotbed for recruiting. Not just guys in the state of Texas, but nationally. Arch Manning, this is his first year as a starter. Obviously, the expectations are going to be sky high for him, understandably so. A lot of that has to do with his talent and also the fact that his last name is Manning. In his two starts, I thought he was great that he had last year. He played in 10 games in the regular season, but I'm not as quick to crown him as the Heisman Trophy winner because I just want to see a little bit more. And I think that's completely fair, but I think it's also fair that expectations are high because the talent is certainly there. I think their run game, Contravion Weisner, a guy that we need to be talking about more. One of the best backs in the SEC, I thought, last year. Offensively, I think their offensive line will be good. I think they have to they had to replace some pass catchers at receiver. I think they'll be just fine there. Defensively, I'll sing the praises of Texas's defense. If guys like Colin Simmons, who are coming off the edge, that one of the best pass rushers in the SEC, and maybe the best defensive player, arguably as in maybe the best player in all of the SEC next year, Anthony Hill at linebacker. I'm very, very confident in this Texas defense. Also, Michael Taff at safety. I think they'll be right in the mix for a national championship. And LSU, Garrett Nussmeier, I believe will be the first quarterback selected in next year's NFL draft. He's the son of a coach. He thinks like a coach. He's a gunslinger. He is not afraid to take chances, which I think is one of his biggest strengths, but can also be a weakness at times. I think their offensive line, yes, they have to replace both tackles, but I'm pretty confident in their offensive line. Receivers, they got Berrien Brown from Kentucky, which was a big-time get for the Tigers. Aaron Anderson, who is a burner down the field. They got Nick Anderson from Oklahoma. Again, this is the same team that had the number one overall transfer portal class last season, and Texas Tech was right behind them, but LSU had the number one transfer portal class. Caden Durham was a nice surprise at running back. He was a true freshman last year, going into his second year. Defensively, I think they've hired really well. Blake Baker, the defensive coordinator at Missouri. 2 years ago, LSU could not stop molasses in December. In year one under Blake Baker, who before that was the defensive coordinator at Missouri, he took a defense that was trash and got them middle of the pack. Now if he can get them from middle of the pack to good, maybe even knocking on the door of really good, I think you have a national championship contender right there in LSU. Whit Weeks, right in the middle of that defense, really came onto the scene last year. I'm really excited to see what he does this year. And with that, I think LSU is going to win the SEC. I'm really, really high. I'm sky high on LSU, and that reason being the experience that they have at quarterback with Garrett Nussmeier, that really pushes them over the edge for me. We're going to go ahead and head to another break. And when we come back, I'm going to give my dark horse teams in each power conference. There's no going back. Had to be a little bit cheesy, play the dark horse instrumental by Katy Perry, because I'm going to give my dark horse teams for each power conference for 2025. And you know what that means. If you're a dark horse, means you're a contender for your conference. And if you happen to win your conference, you get an automatic spot in the college football playoff in 2025. All right. So I'm going to start with the ACC. And my ACC dark horse contender is Louisville. And I don't know exactly if this is a dark horse because according to ESPN Bet, Louisville has the third best odds to win the conference, but I hear more people talking about Clemson, rightfully so. I hear people talking about Miami. I hear people talking about SMU just based off of what they did last year. You heard me talking about Georgia Tech. I want to talk about Louisville. And the reason I want to talk about Louisville is I believe Jeff Brohm is one of the most underrated coaches in all of college football. And he has worked wonders with transfer portal quarterbacks. You think of guys like Jack Plummer, And last year, Tyler Shuck, who was a seventh-year senior, had bounced around from Oregon to Texas Tech to Louisville, and he ended up turning him into a second-round draft pick, and Tyler Shuck is going to be the starter for the New Orleans Saints, most likely, this upcoming season. And now he gets another transfer portal quarterback, this time by way of USC and Miller Moss. Miller Moss was obviously highly rated coming out of high school, was the starter for about half of the season last year before being benched in favor of Jaden Mavia. But here's the thing about Miller Moss is I don't think the things that went wrong at USC, don't think they were entirely his fault. I like the fact that he's being united with Jeff Brohm in Louisville. Because, again, Jeff Brohm is just one of those coaches that is able to get more with less because he gets these guys out of the portal and just works wonders with them. And I think this is a perfect match. And I haven't sold my stock on Miller Moss. I think that he can be a really good quarterback in this system. Isaac Brown was a true freshman running back for Louisville last year. He's in year two. Isaac Brown was a stud. As a true freshman, that's a name that you need to get to know. I expect big things from him in year two. And obviously, like, defensively, Louisville was very good. They have been under Jeff Brohm. But they just have a knack of just being able to get after the passer. Just being able to rush the quarterback. That front seven, very good at blitzing and just being able to get home. I think that the front seven is going to be a strength of this team. Secondary has also been good, producing guys like Quincy Riley and Jarvis Brownlee Jr. I really am going to be high on Louisville's defense. They have a workable schedule as well. Like I mentioned, they had the third highest odds, according to ESPN Bet, of winning the conference at plus 850. But if you're looking at their schedule, their non-conference opponents, Eastern Kentucky, James Madison, Bowling Green. Not exactly a murderer's row for the non-conference. And if you look at their conference slate, they have some tough games in there. They go on the road to Pitt, and I think Pitt is another one of those dark horse teams that I considered putting on this list. They have to go to Miami. They get Clemson at home, and then they go on the road to SMU. But they also have games versus Virginia at home, versus Boston College, at Virginia Tech, at home versus Cal, and then at home versus Kentucky. I could see a world in which Louisville goes 9-3 and potentially contends for a spot in that ACC championship game. And most likely, in order to get there, they'd have to beat a team like SMU, Clemson, or Miami. So we'll have to see how that goes. Now, going to the Big 12. The Big 12, I've done this before where I have tiered the Big 12. I've talked about the Big 12. I've talked about how impossible it is to predict what's going to happen in that conference. And here I go again. My dark horse contender for the Big 12 is Baylor. And there's one reason why. It's their quarterback, Sawyer Robinson. He threw for over 3,000 yards last year, 28 touchdowns, which ranked 14th nationally in FBS, threw 8 interceptions. I'd like to see him get that number down just a little bit. But Sawyer Robinson, I believe, is one of the best quarterbacks in the Big 12. I believe there are lots of great quarterbacks in the Big 12. They don't have a tough, or they do have a tough non-conference schedule. That is the one pitfall. They week one versus Auburn, which is going to be a very exciting game, and then week two they're on the road at SMU. Now, looking at their conference schedule, they play the three of four teams in terms of preseason odds to win the conference: Arizona State, Kansas State, and Utah. Here's the good thing. They get two of those three games at home. The only road game would be, actually, no. They get all three of those games at home. Looking at their schedule, they get Arizona State at home, they get Kansas State at home, and then they get Utah at home. So those are three of the top four teams favored to win the conference. They get those three games at home. Still not going to be easy, because I expect all three of those teams to contend for the Big 12 this year, but they get them at home. And obviously you have to get past that tough stretch in the early portion of the season at home versus Auburn, then on the road at SMU. But if you can do that, then who knows how it'll play out for Baylor. And Dave Aranda is a coach that was on a lot of people's hot seat heading into last year. Then they went 8-4, a spot in the Texas Bowl versus LSU, and all that talk kind of subsided for a little bit. Turning the page to the Big Ten, my dark horse team is Illinois. They returned the third most production in college football. Illinois, to me, is going to be this year's Indiana. Luke Altmyer, year three in the system at quarterback. He's a quarterback that just seems to get better and better as each year goes. An under-the-radar player on the roster for the Illini, Cole Rusk. He's a transfer tight end from Murray State. This would have been two seasons ago. He was there last year. He was an FCS All-American at Murray State. He suffered a season-ending knee injury last year in fall camp, so he was not available, but he is healthy this year, needs to stay healthy, but he could be a big-time target for Luke Altmyer. And we can't forget that Illinois lost their top two pass catchers last year to the NFL, and Zachary Franklin and Pat Bryant, so they're going to need people to step up at the tight end position and in that wide receiver room. Defense, I expect to be really good under Brett Bielema. Gabe Dukas at linebacker. It's a guy you need to familiarize yourself with. He's a baller and the leader of that Illini defense. Now for my final dark horse team. It's kind of weird in the SEC because when you're thinking about it, you have your bottom two teams in Mississippi State and Kentucky. That's pretty consensus across the board. But then everybody else seems to view last year as an appetizer to the main course this year. It seems like the rest of the teams outside of Kentucky and Mississippi State expect to get better and even contend for the SEC. Missouri is my dark horse team for the Southeastern Conference. They have probably the easiest schedule in the SEC. They do not play a murderer's row like Florida plays or like Oklahoma plays. Missouri, they still have some tough games, but let's look. So they play South Carolina, but they get them at home. They play Alabama, but they get them at home. They're on the road at Auburn and at Vanderbilt. And Auburn, Jordan Hare is a sneaky... When Auburn's good, Jordan Hare is one of the toughest environments to play in. So if Auburn is able to create a little bit of momentum, I think that'll be a very tough environment for Missouri. Last year, Missouri went on the road to Texas A&M and got boat raced. This year, they get Texas A&M at home. And then they're on the road at Oklahoma. They're second to last week of the regular season. Then they end at Arkansas. So there are some tough games in there, but compared to what the rest of the SEC is playing in terms of schedule, Missouri's got it easy. They've got it made in the shade. So that is one of the biggest reasons why Missouri is one of my dark horse teams in the SEC. They went out and they got Bo Prabula, a quarterback from Penn State. Now, he's not been named the starter because he's still battling with Sam Horn and Matt Zollers. So Eli Drinkwitz is not announced a starting quarterback yet. They absolutely killed it in the transfer portal. Ahmad Hardy, sophomore running back from University of Louisiana Monroe. He led all true freshmen in FBS last year in rushing yards. Kevin Coleman Jr., a wide receiver from Mississippi State. He is a sneaky, great receiver. Brett Norfleet, their tight end, one of, if not the best, blocking tight end in the SEC, maybe even in the country. Marvin Burks Jr., one of the best safeties in the SEC. Offensive line will be solid. Josiah Trotter, linebacker from West Virginia they got in the portal. He was one of the best linebackers in the portal. Missouri killed it in the transfer portal, and they have an easy schedule compared to what the rest of the SEC has. So Missouri is my final dark horse team in the Power Four. One last segment to come, I will give some of my bold predictions for the upcoming 2025 college football season. That is the new college football anthem by MGK that just came out right before the weekend started, that would be the new anthem for the 2025 season. I wanted to finish this show with some bold predictions. Now, I don't make – it's not necessarily my style to, you know, be a guy that says things for, you know, hot takes, that says things for clicks. But I do have some hot takes. All right. My first, and this is probably my boldest take that I have, my boldest prediction that I have so far. But my first bold prediction is South Carolina will miss the playoffs in 2025. Here's why I say that. This has nothing really to do with Lenore Sellers. This has more so to do with the fact that, again, in the SEC, it is such a, it's competitive, it's deep. A lot of teams viewed last year as an appetizer to the main course this year. Everybody thinks that they're going to get better. But here's the reality. Some team is going to have to take a step back. So it's going to have to be somebody. You have your LSUs, your Alabamas, your Georgias, your Ole Miss, Texas A&M, South Carolina, all of them think, Florida, Oklahoma, all of them think that they're going to improve in 2025, but somebody is going to have to take a step back. And I think that South Carolina is that team. I don't doubt Lenore Sellers. I think he's great. What I do question is, what's around him? Who's he going to throw to? Who's going to be the running back? Their running back right now, Faison, a transfer from Utah State, is currently fighting to be eligible for the season. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen with that. I have questions at receiver. They lost a lot of guys on the defensive side of the ball. Kyle Kennard being one of them, who was voted the defensive player of the year. Nick Emenwori at safety. Now they have Dylan Stewart, who could be one of the best edge rushers in all of college football. But outside of that, I have a lot of question marks. People that are going to surround Dylan Stewart on the defensive side, who's going to surround Lenore Sellers on the offensive side. And they have a tough schedule. They open with Virginia Tech, that's a neutral site game. They have Vanderbilt. They're at Missouri. They're at LSU. Oklahoma's in there. Alabama, both of those games will be at home. And then at Ole Miss, at Texas A&M, and then they end with Clemson. That's a tough schedule. So I see South Carolina as being a team that will miss the playoffs in 2025. Now, I have two more, and these will be brief. Either Oklahoma or Florida will make the playoff in 2025. And that just, Oklahoma, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid for Oklahoma, and that's because of John Mateer, their quarterback, coming over from Washington State. He accounted for over 40 touchdowns last year. A lot of people didn't watch him last year because he was at Washington State and they were playing after a lot of people went to bed. But their offensive coordinator, Ben Arbuckle, comes to Norman with him. The quarterback coach from Washington State comes to Norman. So John Mateer doesn't have to learn a new offense. They're healthy at receiver. Finally, they lost their top six pass catchers last year to injury. Deion Burks should be their wide receiver one. I think that tandem will be absolutely disgusting. In Florida, They were 6-1 with DJ Lagway as the starter. The game that he lost was the Georgia game when DJ Lagway got hurt. So if DJ Lagway is healthy, I think Florida could be a really good team this year. I have total confidence in what they bring offensively on the offensive line. Their running back, Jaden Ball. Defensively, I think they have athletes all over the place. Either Oklahoma or Florida will make the playoff in 2025. My last bold prediction, Carson Beck will be a top eight quarterback in college football. Most people forget that before the season even started last year, it was common to talk about Carson Beck being the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. And then one season plays out, and it seems like everybody thinks he's trash. I think the system that he'll be running at Miami is more conducive to his success because they like to air that ball out. Shannon Dawson, he comes from that Dana Holgerson type tree. I think that's more conducive to his success. And not to mention last year at Georgia, they didn't have much of a run game, which is something we're not used to saying. And their receivers dropped the ball. So there was a lot of pressure on Carson Beck, and really it was up to him to determine how far the offense could go. I think he is in a much better place, offensively speaking, at Miami. So I think he'll play like a top eight quarterback. Those are some of my bold predictions. I'm sure I'll have more to come. But appreciate you listening to this episode of The Air Raid with Parker Kelly. Make sure that you subscribe to the Game Nashville Sports Network. And also, please give me a follow on the socials at Parker_Kelly10. I can be found at Twitter and Instagram. I'll have another episode here for you same time next week. Appreciate you listening. Have a blessed and safe weekend. I'll talk to you soon.
Check out all of our podcasts at thegamenashville.com or find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and all other major podcast platforms.